and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 504. I'm Adam, and delete, because I couldn't, off the top of my head, couldn't think of anything else to say. And she is back. It's Debbie Melrose.
The name's Mickey Smith, defending the Earth.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Welcome to Torchwood.
Yeah!
Is that it? Very, very brief.
That's what she says.
Well, they have a motto. If it's alien, it's ours.
Arms wide. Whee!
Right, so yes, back after a couple of weeks. There'll be another delay after this episode because I've got a family coming to the island next weekend. The week after that, I think I've got a wedding. So things should start getting back to normal by the time we get to September. Right, I've got something else that might affect the show to a certain degree. I've been suffering with my... This is terrible. I'm talking about medical issues on the show, but I've been suffering with my leg for about 5 years. It's a bit black and blue, and it doesn't look very nice, and now it's become quite painful and very sore. And I do spend a lot of time on my feet working and stuff like that. And I was told a few years back that I could be in danger of blood clots and what's the other thing? Oh, yeah, ulcers and stuff like that. And lo and behold, this morning, what's shown up on my ankle, my black, blue and whatever colour? Yes, a ulcer has appeared on my leg.
Oh,
so
what?
Bearing in mind, I should be sat with my leg up because of this ulcer. I'm here doing a podcast with my leg down. But there's other things I will have to do during my 2 weeks off that will involve me not putting my leg up. So it's just one of those things at the moment. I'm going to the doctor's. The nurse tomorrow to get it dressed and probably get it confirmed that it is indeed an ulcer. Great, isn't it? 55 years old, not blooming ulcer. I'm not happy with it.
When are we next recording?
Oh, so that would be in a week. Not this. Hang on. Can I have a look in my diary?
We normally do this at the end.
You'll probably forget. We'll probably have to do it at the end again. Right, what day is it today? It's the 15th of August. So next week, my family's coming down, and I've got a photo shoot with Marla. And the week after that, I've got a wedding. So the next week of recording will be the 5th of August.
Isla starts high school.
Now, I did ask a friend of... a patron of the show and patron and friend of the show, Mr. Toby Hadoki. It's actually Haydo, but people like to pronounce it wrong. Star of Coronation Street, if you'd like to come on the show and talk about basically the possible hiatus. He says he doesn't want to talk about future stuff. He only wants to talk about the glory days, he said. So he may be on the show at some point in the future when he's got some time to talk once again about the glory days of Doctor Who. So that'll be a very short podcast, but never mind. This week we're going to be, hopefully very briefly and succinctly, is that a word, Deb? You're a bit of a boffin, aren't you?
Yeah, succinctly.
Talking about Army of Ghosts and Doomsday, and we're going to start with Army of Ghosts, which starts with the same, almost the same scene of From Space, that we had in Rose, because we're talking about Rose is talking about her death and her mundane life, how mundane it was before she met the Doctor, who's been a bit of an idiot, bouncing around the TARDIS console room, flicking and violently throwing switches, which will probably break the TARDIS console from the 1970s, to be fair. Sat behind Rose on the bus is friend of the show, John Davey. Just thought I'd drop him in there.
Oh, I did not realise that was him behind.
What?
I didn't realise.
How could you not realise this?
On the bus?
He talked about it on several occasions, at least twice since he was on the show. I'm just adjusting my microphone because it's not pointing. It's pointing at my chest.
I'm trying to start the video up. For some reason, it didn't.
Oh, you're stalling. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, you're stalling. Okay.
There we go. Now it's finally started.
Splendid. So anyway, there's a bit of a recap on things that we haven't seen as Doctor and Rose on this fantastic planet. And so just to show that they did do some adventures.
Fantastic planet? You mean that weird 70s French film about the blue-skinned aliens?
What are you talking about?
You said Fantastic Planet. Look it up.
What did I get up to? Rose. Oh yeah, so just to prove that they have been on adventures that we haven't seen that are now currently on Big Finish. Anyway, she goes on, this is a story of how I died, and they've sort of given the as she's sort of standing on the Gower beach with the with the wind blowing in her hair, and they've pasted her down a little bit pale looking, I suppose, to indicate she's dead, I suppose, to make her look a bit ghostly. We have the title sequence, and then the TARDIS arrives.
Eventually, I'll be able to see this. I've now started the DVD three times.
Directed by Graham Harper. Just sort of drop that one in there.
Graham Harper. Never heard of it.
Rose arrives home and gets a cuddle from her mum, who very quickly says that Grandad's been visiting, or was just about to visit, because he's a ghost and the ghosts are all coming back to life. And there is this negative Ready Brick man. Sorry, Deb?
Isla watched this and she went straight away, "That's not a ghost. I know what that is. That's it." And it was like, "Shut up and just watch it."
I must apologize to the people who have been throwing comments in on the live feed on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join. We'll have to get an abbreviation for that, won't we? Lillian Robbins says, "Finally," obviously she's goading me. I know what you're up to there, Lillian. And then she says, "Nice shirt." She's often wearing my 20 megabyte podcast shirt at the moment. And then, "Too much information." Well, sorry, I just...
TMI!
It wasn't on the show, so it's easy information for people. Terry Miles says, "Good evening, everybody." And then Ian Kirk said, "Is Lillian's legs to be joined by Adam's leg?" That's my ankle, actually. I don't know. It is part of my leg, but it's essentially the rest of my leg's fine. And Brandon Moore says, "Sorry I'm late. I just had to pop to the shops and buy some Ecto Shine." Maybe that was the Ecto Shine quote. So back to Doctor Who. Anyway, so the Doctor and Rose run out and say that all these ghosts appearing. Well, they call them ghosts, but straight away, you know that they're not entirely convinced. And then the camera cuts to a massive handle. I don't know if they really needed such a big handle for this particular purpose. At Torchwood.
It is a bit odd that this handle is that big.
Yes, nowadays.
When they're using computers and yet they have a great big handle.
Touchscreen technology, yet they need this humongous handle. So we know that obviously that there's something about this handle that's going to be significant later on in the story. And then, what's the name who's got... What's the name of the woman who's controlling Torchwood? I can't remember her name now.
Yvonne Hartman.
Right, thanks for your help. Pardon?
Tracy Ann Oberman.
No, that's the actress's
Yvonne
name.
Yvonne Hartman.
Hang on, my leg's gone funny. I get stabbing pains in my ankle because I've got an ulcer in it. She sort of stands and gets congratulated because of another successful ghosty shifty thing. And then we get to see some comedy... TV clips, one including Trisha Goddard, which I thought I've forgotten about that, you know, because Trisha was
Trisha, have you watched Trisha?
Quite a big star on American TV and a little bit of a star on British TV at one point. What I noticed was in the background, there's a woman who can't seem to make up her mind what hairstyle she wants. Most of the hair is quite normal down, just the middle bit is all punked up. It's very strange how they do that. Yeah, and then, of course, the weatherman talking about, you know, when there's going to be a the weather, basically ghost-related weather, which is silly, and then a sort of fake ghost watch program. What was the other cameo? Of course, we had, and I've forgotten the Barbara Windsor, that she was in Doctor Who. So this is great that we can actually say Barbara Windsor was in Doctor Who. Get out of my pub. That's what I should have used.
Get out of my pub, then what?
Yeah.
I don't watch that show. Whatever.
Yeah, but
that
Mary
is.
Does.
But, Mary does.
As I understand, the person who was being kicked out was somehow related to the character that Yvonne Hartman's actress was.
Yvonne, she was. Yeah. Yeah, she was married to Den Watts in the in EastEnders, one of her character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just move it on a bit because it does sort of stall for a little while that everybody faffs and we get to see a few little CGI props. Oh, Ben's ready. Hey. Right. The wonders of modern, slightly slow, 8-year-old computer.
Some purring? There, have some purring.
I beg your pardon?
He's got a cat on his lap.
Oh. Yes.
I'm glad you didn't say you got a pussy on your lap. That would be very rude. Right, here comes Ben. Oh.
Sorry, just dying quietly.
Oh, was you coughing? I thought it was Ben coughing.
I was dying quietly in the corner, don't worry.
Oh, dear.
I didn't cough.
Did you not?
No.
You're not having one of those legendary examinations we used to have in school where you had to drop your trousers and some medal person would fondle your gonads and he'd ask you to cough.
I don't know what school you went to, Adam, but that doesn't sound particularly normal, mate. Maybe well,
I was scared stiff of this particular...
Adam, I remember the knit nurse, but I don't remember anyone ever talking about the nut nurse.
I remember being told about this and to expect it. And funny enough, on the day it was supposed to happen, I didn't feel very well and stayed home.
I went in twice.
Well, we haven't got far, Ben, by the way, because, as you know, Kirby's on the show this week. So we're only 8 minutes into episode one. So we've just got to the bit where...
Master?
What?
Master?
Yes?
When we last talked about this particular story, I was not on. It was just you and Ben.
Oh, well, that would have been a very slick program then, that one.
Undoubtedly.
Yes. I don't know whether you're loud enough, but we'll
apparently you did it at this time of night, but on a weekday.
My private life is not for airing on this show, but thank you very much for trying to bring it up, Kirby.
Excuse me.
Right. So yes, so the doctor bloke with the glasses as he's just standing with his hands on the hips, looking up this big globe thingy, orb thing, or whatever it is, skull thing.
Master.
I do love their Bluetooth, oversized Bluetooth things in their ears. You would have thought that.
Master, you completely skipped over the fact that Martha showed up, or Martha's identical cousin.
Well, it wasn't Martha, it was the actor that played her. Freema Agyeman, for God's sake, woman. Woman? Man. She's only just showed up. How did I skip over it? That's actually after the big orb bit.
No, it's not.
It is. But anyway.
She is at 7 minutes and 45 seconds.
That's
before
to get through.
Anyway, she's having a flirt with this other chap.
Right,
they
there,
go
7:41.
They go off to have a bit of a nudge nudge wink wink session at somewhere in the building where there's lots of polythene. Great money saving work by the BBC.
No.
Here we go.
We're directly referencing previous Cyberman stories.
And saving money with the scenery. Yes, thank you very much, Kirby. They could have been a bit more imaginative. They didn't have to have polythene covering.
The Tomb of the Cybermen, that bit, yes.
Well, yeah, but no, that was chat up. Right then, where do we get up to? Right then, so anyway, so they go in for a little bit of a nudge, nudge, wink, wink, but one bloke goes in on his own, and there's and then she goes in. This is...
Well, she's
Agyeman,
done right at the beginning.
But we do see a quick glimpse of a Cyberman, so we know now that it's Cybermen involved in this particular thing. Which
also,
is...
Master.
Oh Jesus!
You can tell when the humans were partially Cybermanized.
Pardon?
Is they stop using one Bluetooth headpiece and now have two?
Right.
So if they're wearing two, they're cyberized.
Okay. Thank you for that, Kirby.
And if
anyway, so they obviously had something
also,
done...
Master, God. This was not the last story which was filmed.
Thank you.
They filmed this back pretty close to the beginning of this for Series 2.
Yes.
And so they hired Freema for this.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that she was perfect for Martha, and RTD said that he was going that if he had known that she was going to be perfect as Martha, he would not have killed her off.
Yes, that would have been a good idea, and it's probably the shortest period of time that an actor has gone from being another part in Doctor Who to being another part. You know what I mean? Playing two different parts.
It appears short to us because...
Yes, because we're watching the next
episode. When they were
broadcast,
it was actually quite some time.
A couple of shows time.
Like I said, they filmed this one early.
Oh, God. Right, anyway, so the Doctor has made one of his funny sort of Doctor-type gadgets, and he's created this, like, triangulation thing to trap one of these ghosts. I'm just trying to work out what it is. Meanwhile, Martha... sorry, it's not Martha anymore. It's Freema. Freema's character, Addie, wasn't it? I can't remember what her name was.
Addie.
Yeah. is scheming with her little buddy while the ghost shift is done. And while they're doing this ghost shift, thank you. What's her name? Rose and Jackie are having a bicker. And then, yeah, go on then, say what you had to say.
I was pointing out that by this point, Martha has the two Bluetooth.
Oh, she does indeed. They're a bit big, aren't they?
Yes.
They are, yes.
Yeah.
They're kind of like, Bluetooth! Look at me!
Anyway, the Doctor tries to grab hold of this, trap this ghost, which is Sidemen, obviously. All hell breaks loose at Torchwood. And they have to reverse the humongous handle.
Doesn't love a big lever?
Yeah. It's better than having a big red button, I suppose. It's just a humongous handle.
And yet later, the Cybermen are able to use software entirely to move those levers.
Indeed. So anyway, the Doctor...
Spoilers.
The Doctor decides to move the TARDIS to Torchwood, not realizing that Jackie was sat in the corner. Or just
also, Torchwood happens to notice the Doctor and spots the TARDIS. Have they not seen the Doctor since the Queen Victorian days?
Well, I'm sure they've got a file somewhere, Kirby. Somebody would have painted his picture or something like that.
Well, they know it's him, but I mean, it's been all this time.
They spotted him because of the TARDIS. They found the TARDIS.
Is the key,
and
is it
not? The TARDIS has been on Earth for a long time.
And the Doctor's been backwards and forwards many times.
Was UNIT something that they were intimidated by? So that's the reason why they weren't paying attention?
I don't know. Anyway, Laurie Nix says hello while she... I'll read it how it should be. Laurie Nix says hello while she's waiting for her cat battery to be replaced. Oh, waves? Does she mean car battery?
I don't know, but what's a cat battery? I mean, she's got a robot.
For health and safety reasons, listeners, I really think you should not be putting batteries in your cat unless you happen to have a robot cat.
You're talking about batteries.
And depends what battery you put. I mean, if it's a AAA, then not so much. You know, if it's like a big chunky one that you used to put in radios, then seriously, your cat won't be sat around.
Yeah, but Ben, if you've got to bear in mind, got to be very careful with batteries, because if they're too strong, you're going to go meow when you put your connector in. Oh, sorry, she said car. She said car. Right.
Well, at least for, waste the last
for avenue of comedy there.
I mean, that would have been a total waste of everyone's life, wouldn't it?
That was good.
I didn't think she had a cat anyway. I thought she had guinea pigs.
Yeah, no, that was...
Which makes it even more bizarre. Maybe she doesn't like cats. Maybe she's...
What battery's going to guinea pigs anyway?
Anyway, Brandon Moore says, I prefer free-range cats to battery cats.
Maybe actually, for a guinea pig, you know those little circular round flat batteries, C1. I think that's probably a guinea pig / hamster size. Anything bigger, I think you're risking damage.
Just like to say, no guinea pigs were harmed during the production of this podcast. Meanwhile, the Doctor and Rose and Jackie have arrived in Torchwood and have a little bit of a poke around. And they're given missions. Unfortunately for the Doctor, he's stuck with Jackie while Rose goes off... into the bowels to...
I love that she's in there with them. My mum's on board.
Yeah. Yes. Kirby has already mentioned the fact that they get all excited because it's the Doctor and they get a bit defensive as well and they cart his TARDIS away. Laurie Nix said, sorry, can't see without my specs.
I spec she can't.
But she got that one from Rhys Parton's Book of Excuses, Volume 2, by the way. Okay. Right, so
that is not an excuse, and if it is an excuse, it's a bloody good one, because not having glasses when you need to look at something and you need glasses is a night. I was in B&Q a couple of weeks ago, couldn't read any of the labels, and my glasses were in the car, couldn't be asked to go and get them. But it's a nightmare.
Well, Well, funny so thing
I,
should,
I sympathise.
Funny you should say that, but when I'm doing my other job of a wedding photographer, I can't wear my glasses while doing this photography because it will scratch the lenses, so I have to take them off and trust the camera to focus. So I take a picture and look at it, this fuzzy thing on the thing, and think, I don't know if that's actually out of focus or out of focus because I see it as out of focus.
Secrets of a wedding photographer.
Most of the time.
I don't know. I just press the button and hope for the best.
Yeah,
most of the time,
shoot.
It's they're doubly out of focus if it's out of focus. Yeah, anyway, carry on.
Sorry, Kirby. We were talking about taking photos. I'm not sure what you were relating to.
Brandon Moore said, Laurie, why don't you try using the Doctor's 3D specs? Didn't know they were available. Anyway, right, so the Doctor is now sort of semi-imprisoned to a certain degree and semi-roped in to help Torchwood, and he's taken down to the bowels to see the big golden ball. David Beckham is at the other end of this ball, obviously. That was a British sports joke, so anybody who doesn't know anything about British sports won't know what the hell I'm talking about. But Ben does.
Oh, that was a joke?
It was a joke, yes.
I got failed on a quiz question. I got failed on a quiz question yesterday or something I was playing because they had the option. It was the answer was football, but our version of football, and they had soccer on there, and I didn't think to hit soccer, and I got failed.
When you say our version of football, you mean football, then?
Yeah, football.
Well, the Isle of Wight got their own version of football now.
Yeah, it's American football. There, you mostly.
That's
hold
what
the
it
ball
meant. It meant American football, and I'm just sat there going, "Yeah, football." Okay. And no, you got the question wrong. I'm like, I bloody did not.
Anyway, so yeah, we've got to mention about. Old Addie has gone a bit serious now because she's not herself anymore. And
no, she's taken over.
Rose sneaks out of the TARDIS and finds her way eventually after the Doctor starts moaning.
I like the way she just grabs a nearby white lab coat.
She yeah. knows what to do. The Doctor's trained her.
Yes. And the Doctor demonstrates that the problem with shifting from the other universe to our universe is smashing the Earth and whatever. By sonicking the glass where the logo of Torchwood is. Doesn't have any effect on Tracy Ann Oberman whatsoever. And
she's still
then
cut up about getting
the Cybermen again, decide there's going to be a major shift around the world while Rose sort of steps in to see the chap with the white coat. Of course, he hasn't been taken over the Cybermen yet, is he, Kirby? Because he's only got one Bluetooth thing in his ear.
He's never taken over by the Cybermen. He's killed by Daleks.
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't yet, though, is he? Anyway, Rose tries to sort of blag her way in by using the psychic paper. Of course, the other chap's been trained not to be so silly. And moving forward. Moving still forward. Oh, yeah. Then they try this shift. This is basically Addie and her lover. Who are totally zoned out at this stage, and the Doctor says, "Shorry, show shorry," and pulls his thing out of their ears, and which is attached to their brain, and essentially kills them. So there you go.
Yeah, that's nice.
The Doctor kills a couple of people, but it's okay because apparently they were dead anyway. What got me, I think they could have made it slightly more gory when they pulled this thing out of their brain and had a little bit of blood on it. That would have probably, probably not had to do it. I'm pretty sure if anything goes in your brain, you yank it out, there'll be a little bit of blood. Anyway, so this is a point that Kirby would love after a bit of action. They find the polythene part of the studio, and there's a Cyberman behind the polythene, and that was fun, wasn't it, Kirby?
Oh, yes. Master.
Yes.
The grade of polythene used in this scene was 0.01.
Laurie Nick says, but I did see that nice shot of your t-shirt. What, my t-shirt? I can't really see it.
Your t-shirt's really nice.
Kirby didn't ask my question. I'm very, very disappointed.
What was the question?
Oh, jeez. I'm glad to see you're concentrating. I was just saying that bit where the Cyberman was behind the polythene.
Yeah.
No, okay. I thought you'd have enjoyed that scene.
Yeah, I made reference to it, 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, but that was too early. We hadn't got to it then.
No.
Robert Venge Jr. says, hi, everyone. Hello,
hi.
Robert. Anyway, then, randomly, Mickey turns up, and he's quite tough now. And
That's
Rose,
why it was on my quote, because I watched it again last night, and I was like, yeah, I love Mickey in this.
He'd been to the gym.
Yes. And Rose sort of looked...
He'd been doing a lot of fuel.
Yes. Rose looks at him all gooey-eyed, which I thought was quite interesting as well. Excuse me. Meanwhile, all hell breaks loose when all the Cybermen, the ghosts become Cybermen because they are Cybermen. There's a full shift and everybody legs it. And all around the world, these Cybermen appear with their delete and all this business. And yes, and then this ball. Oh, let me finish. I was going to come up to the interesting bit.
Delete.
Yes, Kirby.
Have you got your little teddy and your green mini?
How many time zones are between Britain and India?
Would it really be basically
the same time of day? And
oh, here we go. No, it certainly won't be the same time of day.
Between England and India, all you need to do is turn your watch upside down and it's the right time.
But it might have been daylight, Kirby.
I mean, if you've got a digital watch, it doesn't work. But if you've got an analog watch and you turn it upside down, that's the time. Or go on your iPhone and go to World Clock and type in Delhi. That's even easier.
Anyway, Brandon Moore says Mickey's got a big weapon. Terry Miles says that's what she said.
That's what she said.
I think you'll find that's what the cast said.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Yes. Anyway, the Genesis arc thingy, not sorry, the Genesis, the big globe thing opens up and out fly some Daleks.
Yay!
Yes.
Proper Daleks, love them.
Wow, nearly
apparently
proper Daleks.
Back in the classic era, that it was proposed to have a Cyberman slash Dalek story, but Terry Nation vetoed it.
Oh, well.
I mean, you did just skip over 15 minutes in three sentences there, and that was rather a dramatic and brilliant 15 minutes at the end of that.
Yes, but they did obviously, because it is what it is, they did drag it out a bit. So essentially, I'm just saying what happened. The Genesis arc, sorry, this thing is the Genesis arc, I think. No, it's not. Is it the ball thing?
Yes,
is that
the
Genesis
thing that
arc?
Comes out, they bring out the Genesis arc.
Oh, that's it, yeah, because that's the prison ship, isn't it?
The Genesis arc!
Yeah. Anyway, so initially it sees these handful of Daleks. Now we, sorry. Sorry, what? I missed something. Anyway, so yeah, so currently, Jackie's with the Doctor and she's starting to need to go to the toilet, shall we say? The Doctor keeps wearing these 3D specs, of course. We find out a bit later what that's all about, and then we see lots of sort of explosions, and the Doctor and the Cybermen and Tracy Ann Oberman and Jackie are watching scenes of destruction from high up in the Amstrad building. No, that's one of the other ones there, isn't it?
No, this is the Canada, First Canada or something.
Little Canada.
Okay. And I did notice, actually, while the leader Dalek, is it Dalek Sek, I can't remember, the black one anyway, is talking, and not only are his lights flashing, he's wobbling from side to side as well, so he must be very agitated.
He's very excited, isn't he? Yeah.
Hold on, you missed a brilliant...
Oh, what?
Wait.
What?
Oh, from Billy Piper standing on the beach.
Yeah, well, that was from the previous episode. And then they repeated at the beginning of this episode. Yeah,
it's one Canada Square at Canary Wharf.
Thank you, Kirby. Really needed to know that, but I'm sure some...
Oh, by the way, that beach, Southern Down Beach,
yeah.
Would you believe it's only 4 miles from where the Seventh Doctor was on the motorcycle in Delta and the Bannerman?
I would believe that, yes.
Doctor.
Sadly,
doctor,
yes.
Master. It's actually 3.8 miles.
Anyway, Rose, there's a point in which Rose does try to be really tough to the Daleks. And it's one of them has to sort of offer themselves up, and the chap with the white coat does, and he gets his face squashed by a couple of plunges.
He gets suckered to death.
Yeah.
Yes. What are you going to do? Suck me to death?
I did forget to mention, I was something that you talked over it, and I forgot. Oh, yeah, we haven't got to a bit. That brilliant argument when the Daleks and the Cybermen.
You obviously, you do not, the aesthetics, isn't it? It's about looking good.
Yes. One thing Cybermen do better than Daleks, die. Which is
you are better at die.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. That bit.
Cooking.
Yeah.
Cleaning.
Oh dear.
Have no conception of, I can't remember what it is it beauty or something? It's they're definitely going about the aesthetics or.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, later on in the episode,
that's rather emotional for Daleks.
Yeah, I and know it's a bit
the
odd.
The reason is because they are the cult of Skaro, which has
roses
and given some extra emotions.
Oh, I see. They've been given them, are they? Okay.
Well, they were meant to think like the people that the Daleks would battle, weren't they? You know, so they'd have to have a bit of emotion.
Oh, I see. Ian Kirk says, it is 6 minutes past midnight at the Taj Mahal at the moment. So that means that it would have had to... does it matter, for goodness sake?
Yes, it matters.
might be during British summertime it doesn't work, and during Greenwich Mean Time it does.
Anyway, Tracy Ann Oberman is carted off by the Cybermen to be converted, and then...
the worst acting Doctor Who since this series.
And somehow she knows that her brain's going to be removed, even though they haven't said it, because these Cybermen are from the other universe.
Yeah, but you know why that is, Kirby? Why? It's because she's a terrible actress.
Ooh, harsh. Anyway,
that was so poor, that whole bit of her. Oh, no, don't take me
for
away.
For Queen and Country nonsense.
For Queen and Country.
Yeah. Oh, God, seriously.
I agree with Queen and Country.
I agree with that. But she was told to say those lines, by the way. Anyway, some mercenaries appear wearing these sort of suits and sort of gas masks and yellow disc pendants, which would have been quite good around someone's neck in the 70s. With a bit of a hairy chest, maybe.
Yeah,
anyway,
I was mentioning to Fred last night as we were watching that those disc things reminded me of this when the girls were all young. We had this big mouse ball that for like little kids to use. It was yellow and looked like that. Okay. She remembered it.
We have lights that we have in the shed that you click on like that look just
that's
like
true, them. Yes. Wouldn't wear around your neck though, would you? Anyway, so they turn up.
Master.
Yes.
One thing that I've seen pointed out is you realize that this is set in universe of 2006, right?
Right.
And the Cybermen and the Daleks do not seem to sense that there is another Dalek in 2012 that's going to stay. It's over in Van Staten's museum. It doesn't get released until 2012, but they don't sense that Dalek is there.
Maybe it was the concrete shell around the building and the fact he was however many floors down meant they couldn't detect him, or the fact that it
is that the same way that the Doctor didn't realize that the Master was around.
What?
Is that the same? Because the same sort of reason why the Doctor didn't realise that the Master still existed, and perhaps anybody else that had used the chameleon art.
Also, can I just point out that those yellow discs that they wear around their necks look incredibly like my old shower speaker.
They do look very, very cheap.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, on this particular trip,
they've
come from beyond the void, bear in mind they did mention about the multiverse, but just so strange coincidence, this one other universe is the one that's travelling backwards and forwards, etc. Anyway, they've come through
the
void.
It's also so convenient that they appear just in time so that Jackie doesn't get converted.
Well, that's part of the story, and that happens all sorts of genres. Anyway, they show up on this occasion. Eventually, I'll get this bloody sentence out. On this occasion, wearing these really weird suits and gas masks and stuff, and big guns. Of course, in the next few minutes, they could be going backwards and forwards and ruining the universe while doing it. Anyway, like you say, they're there to show off a bit because they've got this ability. And of course, Pete comes along as well. And only they really there for the reason of the script. Of course, Rose then tells Mickey about when she touched the Dalek and it got all excited. No, it didn't. Sorry, it got all it got a bit of emotion, I suppose, a bit of Rose in it.
Master.
Yeah, they do keep on having the Doctor leaning up against this wall, which will become significant later on in the show. Yes.
Rose is threatening the Daleks and tells the Daleks that she destroyed the Emperor because she looked into the heart of the TARDIS.
Yes.
where it was established that she didn't remember.
But she was told by the doctor. She was told by the doctor that happened.
Okay, fine.
And she probably watched that episode of Doctor Who like we did.
I think he told her on a Wednesday. Benedict for tea.
The doctor's bound to have told her. The doctor shows off, so he would have been talking about, oh yeah, what we did, and this is why I regenerated, because I did this for you, and blah de blah, and you did this for me, and this is why I like, yeah. Right, anyway, so what are we going on? The doctor's sort of not impressed by this sort of travelling from universe to universe, and insists that they must not do it too many times, because it will break the world, apparently.
Well, it's already breaking Pete's world, because the temperature's gone up 2 degrees in 3 years.
That's what it's done in real life in this on the planet now. Isn't that weird? But
can I suggest we carry on doing it for a while, because it's bloody freezing at the moment. It's going to be summer.
Yeah, this is supposed to be summer. I thought it was snowing.
Yeah, I think this is our climate change. We're getting a bit colder, and everything else is getting really hotter, having fires and stuff. That's weird, isn't it?
Well, we need to address the balance.
Do we do?
Yeah, I suggest that on really, really hot days in this country, you know, those like ones where it gets to 30, you know, the ones we have like three of a year, if everybody takes their fridge freezers outside, turns them on full and opens them up, it might cool us down a bit.
Yeah, okay.
Do you think that would work?
No,
well, of course it would. If everyone in the country put a fridge freezer outside, then you think
of course it would.
Have you been in your fridge freezer recently? It's pretty cold in there.
Oh, God. Right. Anyway, the doctor meets up with the Cybermen while Rose gets all tough with the Daleks, and they threaten to... Oh, I forgot about the exterminate bit, but Rose, that was earlier on in the episode, Rose talked the Daleks out of killing them by just mentioning the doctor.
Master.
And they shuddered in the Dalek-y, shuddery way. Yes?
The doctor uses that sheet of A4 paper, specifically says it's A4, and, you know, we don't have A4 here, but I just had to deal with a project at work where I had to set up a printer in El Salvador that was using A4. It was interesting.
No, it wasn't. I'm not going to get onto paper sizes. Goodness sake.
Why not?
Personally, A2's my favourite size.
I like A5 because you can fit it inside an envelope. Can we get on? Right then.
A5 definitely has its benefits, but we mustn't cast our eyes over this discussion without stopping at A3. I
mean, anyway.
You know, quality size bit of paper.
Oh my God, A3 paper.
The Daleks have a special gadget, a device-y thing, which is curiously Dalek-shaped, and they're getting all excited off because there's someone's inside having a fag. It's coming out the top of these sort of vents. Anyway, it gets opened up.
I bet that's cheaper than building a shed.
And of course, Peter said, "That's not my Jackie, not my wife." Instantly, sort of falls in love with her as soon as he sees her, and they sort of get a bit of a bond. And Rose is a bit sort of creeped out by the whole thing. And the Daleks move in, and there's a battle between the Daleks and the Cybermen, which is rather cool, to be fair. And this ship, of course, they're wondering all the way through the story what this sort of Dalek-shaped ship might be. But, of course, the time lock technology that they've been talking about all the way through is, in fact, this ship, because it's bigger on the inside and it's got millions of Daleks inside of it. And at the time, the CGI of these millions of Daleks coming out of this little thing was very, very good. And
yes, it was.
The Doctor...
It's still pretty good.
Yeah. Then the Doctor explains... about they can't keep going backwards and forwards through the void because it's all covered in this void stuff, and we see why he's using the 3D specs. For some reason, the 3D specs show that who's giving off this void stuff and who isn't. And of course, Jackie isn't because she hasn't been through yet. But it won't be long before she is. The Doctor tells them to go back and take Rose with them. And Rose is sort of, oh, no, you're not. And she, being selfish like she is, she she sort
and
of,
it turns into a pantomime.
She's
and
send, yeah, yeah, she's sent herself
oh,
back.
Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, yeah. It's behind you.
Of course, Jackie and can't go on. Back.
I remember that that scene originally was filmed with David Tennant in dressed up like a pantomime dame. But RTD, if I remember rightly, said it went a little bit too far. Especially
right.
As Billy Piper was dressed up as Puss from Puss in Boots. Right. It just didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Master?
Hang on, let me finish this little bit. Anyway, where do we get up to? Then you can remind me that you wanted to say something so I won't forget what I was going to say. That's right. So, of course, to make sure that they can't go back and chase, or Jackie can't go back and chase Rose, they smash up all these, well, anyway, yes, go on, Kirby.
Okay.
The dog wants
Master,
to come in.
You know, when the Daleks take the thing and go out the roof, and the doctor is now, he has to go up. They want to go up to, back to the top of the building,
yes.
And Jackie makes this reference. Oh, she's seen all those stairs already, and Jake sticks his head out of the lift and says, hey, "Come on, take the lift." That was originally scripted. If you'll recall, in the previous episode, there was that spaceship that Torchwood had.
Mm.
That it was scripted to take that spaceship up.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so she's really upset, this Jackie, that she's separated from Rose. And this is where the biggest star of the show, it just so happens that this humongous Gert handle has to be operated with another humongous great handle on the other side of the room. And the doctor's
wait, wait, when you said the biggest star of the show, I thought you were going to say John Barrowman. Hello!
Fabulous. Anyway, yeah, so they...
Oh, speaking of which, this is the only one of RTD's season-ending stories. It doesn't have John Barrowman.
Thank you for that. Where do we go up? Oh, yeah, so they've got these big handles, and of course, he actually does need Rose to hold the handle while all the, you know, basically they've sort of clamped themselves to the walls, because as it sucks all these Daleks and stuff through, I did like the idea that one of the Daleks would hit the handle and mean that somebody would have to manually pull it back again. And of course, that's
also,
Rose.
Why aren't their arms ripped off?
Because it's a sci-fi TV show.
Anyway, so poor old Rose. Of course, David Tennant's doing lots of snarling and gritting of teeth while Rose, and his hair's looking a bit of a mess, to be fair, while Rose gets sucked in. But of course, Pete appears. Now, why, when Pete catches Rose flying into the void, why is Pete?
No.
That's the big thing. Yeah,
why is he not pulled into it as well?
Don't go there. Just don't ruin.
Don't.
It's a science fiction fantasy.
Don't overthink it. You can overthink everything.
I get frustrated with it. You know, it's like, yeah.
Also,
pardon?
Also, all these Cybermen are all over the world. How quickly are they traveling to get sucked into the top of Torchwood Tower?
Quite fast.
They go on for an undefined amount of time. There wasn't a clock ticking at the bottom, was there?
The whole rift thing closes. We see it close because of the famous scene.
But they didn't sit there going, right, we've got a minute and a half for this to happen.
Yeah, so let's have the old episode of just watching all the Cybermen and Daleks flying into the top of the tower. That would have made a great episode, wouldn't it?
Hold on.
There is an explanation.
Oh, there
as
is.
As they were filming this bit, actually, I'm pretty sure David Tennant went for a wee, but they cut that bit out too because they thought that also would be a little bit long.
Actually, the second discontinuity guide explains
it does
that it's that all the Cybermen actually go through the same cracks they originally went through wherever they were.
That makes sense. Anyway, so after that, and this door to the void is closed, then we get that scene where the Rose is bashing against the wall on one side and the Doctor's listening against the wall on the other side, but we're not just touching it and being very sad. Now, I seem to remember when we watched this, obviously in those days, we used to watch Doctor Who as a family because Doctor Who was so good, everybody was watching it. And
Doctor Who was good back in these days.
I remember Deb and Alicia were snivelling away during this whole scene. Very well written scene, and of course then Rose carries on to tell a story where her death is actually to do with her, she was written off as dead in our world, but not because she's actually dead. So anyway, she goes on, and the doctor calls her through her mind and calls her to some beach in Wales, which is in Norway, which is called Bad Wolf Bay, etc., etc. And she meets the doctor with this half-doctor, which she turns a knob on the TARDIS console and becomes a more visible 3D hologrammy thing. And she tells him that she loves him. And the doctor says, quite right, too.
The thing that I posted on the Facebook page, which you can join, it's how it should have ended.
Right.
Which is very funny.
I haven't watched that yet. I'm going to watch that.
Well, it should have ended with her being dead, you mean?
No, it has him. I cannot explain the jokes. Just watch it. It's funny.
Okay. Anyway, so as soon as the doctor says, quite right too, well, as is, he's supposed to be saying, well, he loves her. I like to think he didn't. Not in the way she wanted him to love her anyway. And
the children's version of Doctor Who, and the late night version that I did with Hollyoaks at about 11:30, very different.
Oh God! Anyway, right. So after obviously the communication link severed because he's using the power of a supernova to fund this thing. I do like the lighting when it cuts back to the doctor. He's got a tear running down his face. You don't see the doctor grizzling, or it might be just the wind blowing in his eyes or whatever. I don't know. He's got a tear running down his face, and all the lighting is green, and like it was in the Eccleston era. It was very green lighting within the console room. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly, Catherine Tate appears.
Yes, it's hilarious. Yes.
What? And of course, then we weren't to know that she goes, one of the greatest Doctor Who companions of all time.
Yes, absolutely.
After you've just said goodbye to one of the greatest.
Yes, indeed.
Remember, okay, right though.
Then. Before I say what I think of it.
When they made the announcement that it was Catherine Tate, we all went, she can't be a good companion.
I said, a very talented lady. I'm sure she'll be brilliant. It was only miserable sods. She was brilliant. And same with Billy Piper. When she was announced, people go, Billy Piper, she's a pop singer. A load of rubbish. Oh, well. She wasn't, was she? Anyway, right then. So what we got here? I'm going back through these comments and to one I haven't read yet. Robert Vance Jr. Dalek self-destroy itself in Daleks. Then he says in the episode Dalek. Brandon Moore said, I do find the whole portal sucking handle thing a bit rubbish. And then Robert Vance Jr. says, after a while your hands would get tired and the doctor at his emotional best. I don't think the doctor would get tired because he's a time lord, he can hang on forever. Apart from when he's hanging from radio telescopes at the end of Logopolis.
Robert Vance Jr. says the Dalek destroyed itself, but that's in the future from when this is. Yes, this is time travel, remember?
Yes, it's wibbly wobbly.
They went to 2012 in the episode Dalek.
Right, okay, right. I'm going to say what I think of it now. Right, okay. This is, you know, it's a good finale. It's lots of silly. If Mary was here, I think she'd be the first to agree. But there's lots of silly things in it that really wouldn't work, even in the science fiction fantasy TV aspect. But all that is evened out by a cracking story, some great acting, a romantic ideal of the Daleks and Cybermen against each other, the departure of one of the greatest companions, the emotion of all that, and I think we can forgive its sort of misdemeanours in the slightly silliness department by just the delivery of a cracking story. So that's all I'm going to say about that matter. What did you think of it, Ben?
Oh. There are several moments that define televisual history.
Oh, yeah.
England winning the World Cup in 1966. Yeah. Princess Diana and Prince Charles getting married in 1981. Dirty Den and Angie serving the divorce papers Christmas Day 1986. And Billy Piper and David Tennant snuggling against a wall. All of those brought tears to people. All of those still bring back emotions whenever one thinks of any of those circumstances. And this episode of Doctor Who must go down as one of the episodes of Doctor Who.
Is that it?
Sorry, I hadn't finished. Oh. Sorry, I hadn't finished. One of the episodes of Doctor Who. That is truly wonderful. Yes, it is silly.
Don't you mean two of the episodes?
Yes, you could... well, it depends, story. Really, because we're reviewing it as one episode. Oh, so right, therefore, yeah, yeah, it is an episode.
No, we're reviewing as one story.
Yes, okay,
episodes.
Kirby. I stand sit corrected.
Sorry. Hold on, just let me correct that. Just rub my notes out. And oh!
Bother?
Fine, I'll redo my notes just for you, just so I can say that. It's brilliant. I mean, it's one of the best endings, I think, that they've produced in the since it's come back. The last 10 minutes is just fantastic. Complete bloodfest. How anyone can watch that and like not go, is Billy Piper leaving to become a prostitute on ITV? I don't know. to American and Australian listeners, you probably won't have a clue. But
well,
still,
you know what that show is.
Oh, good, that's all right. But you know, I'm burning up a star just to say goodbye. All of that, it was just so beautiful. It was so lovely, and we were saying goodbye to Rose, who, you know, and after two series of having Rose, she was an institution already within the show, and already they were letting her go, and it was like. Well, I would say the parting of the ways, but that was the end of season one. So, sorry, series one. Shit. Series one. I think it's brilliant. Yeah, and as you just kind of touched on, the Cybermen v. the Daleks thing was something that people had dreamt of for many, or probably not some people, but Doctor Who fans had dreamt of for many a year. Never would have it happened in the original series, in classic Who. But RTD, the man, the Doctor Who man. And it was brilliant. And as you said, this is how Doctor Who was when it was brilliant. And a lot can be learned by looking back at it by the next showrunner. There endeth me.
Oh. Well, thank you, Ben. What do you think about it then, Debbie?
Well, it's a... I don't approve or at all of romantic inclinations with the Doctor and things like this, but I've never liked the whole idea of him being in love with Rose. I just felt, yes, I know she helped form this Doctor, but I didn't really like that bit. So you can get rid of the schmaltzy ending for me, and the rest of it is absolutely good adventure.
Ooh, get off!
I love, especially out of the two episodes, the first one, the setup, and I think it's just really good storytelling, good acting, and just yeah, all it's the idea of the dimension jumping. We'll just gloss over the fact that, you know, Rose's dad can just stand there for like umpteen seconds and yes. Rose away. We'll gross over that bit. But the whole
Science Fantasy TV program.
I know. The whole idea of dimension jumping, obviously we've done that in Doctor Who before, but it's quite interesting that around this time you had a lot of other other sci-fi was exploring we're exploring this whole dimension jumping thing, and it became quite a big thing. You had the Stargate U and things like that. It was around this time that they were really trying to play with the whole idea of bringing back characters and changing stories. And I really think this episode is the last two, obviously, of this season with Rose. It was just a great jumping off point for what was to come. This was golden age of New Who about to really sort of crash down. Yeah. And it was and I love it. I love the story. I love David Tennant in this. It's amazing. Billy Piper's acting is fantastic. I totally get. I do understand the love story thing. I get it, but I just never felt it sits right with Doctor Who. It just, for me, I'm not like I'm a purist or anything, but for me, it just never really smacked right. And then obviously, then we get a good, you know, just, you know what I mean, just expression.
Oh, okay.
Sit well with me.
Okay.
And but getting the glimpse of Donna at the end as well, I love that. He's all broken hearted looking around, didn't he? And then there's what? 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 Yeah. What? It's just that's just brilliant because you know something really good is just about to hit down as well. And it, yeah.
Oh, I think my speaker.
The music in this one as well is citrus. Absolutely.
The music is fantastic.
Use of it.
Rose's theme at the end, is it? Is that what it's called? Yeah. It's just. Oh.
Yeah.
All Rose's the music around this era is amazing.
That piece of music is actually called Doomsday.
Is it?
Sorry.
You've got the Bad Wolf stuff. You've got everything. You've got all the music that's been used and built up through the whole of this series.
Yeah.
Is used to absolute. Yeah, brilliant effects here, especially the revelation when the Daleks come out, and that piece of music's just brilliant. So yeah, and I love the interaction between the Daleks and the Cybermen. I mean, what's not to love when two badass enemies of the Doctor face off? I think that's brilliant.
Nicolas Cage, was he in it?
Probably.
He was one of those. Kirby, which Cyberman was he?
Nicolas Cage.
Right, well, thank you, Debbie. Kirby, what did you think?
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I love this story. And I remember the first time I watched this, and the Daleks and the Cybermen faced off against each other, and I was just, it was so great.
I can imagine, Kirby. I can imagine, as could everyone else.
That was up there almost as good as when the Fourth Doctor showed up in the 50th anniversary.
oh, now you're talking moments, mate. You're talking moments.
Yes. Just great. And we had established, particularly during the second series, the whole love thing was going on, and there's nothing I could do about it, so I just rolled with it.
Yeah.
So the Doctor is in love, and fine. it's great. It's absolutely great. By the way, speaking of the Secret Diary of a Call Girl that Billy Piper went on to do after this, you have to remember that in the first season of that, or series, I don't know if they call it season or series at ITV,
I don't think there's much of a discussion about that.
Yeah, they don't have a big thing about it.
But remember, she runs one of the characters' customers was this nearly unknown actor named Matt Smith.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I remember that, because that's one of the bits I didn't watch on Fast Forward.
Yeah, three years before he was the Doctor.
Okay, is that it?
Basically, you put me all the way at the end instead of second, which is usual.
Oh, it's random, Kirby. Because you're Mary today, I thought I'd leave you to the end. Is that right?
Well, except I didn't get a boop, boop, boop.
Well, no, it's not going to be very dramatic, I'm afraid. Sorry for that.
The lack of sound effects is a real bonus.
Okay.
The thing is that I love this era of Doctor Who with a passion. This is the best of modern Doctor Who. These three seasons, series.
Season series.
Two, three, and four.
Yes.
Just fantastic.
Yes. Yeah.
It was Doctor Who was worth watching. And I'm sorry, it's not worth watching at the moment.
Absolutely right, mate. Bang on, 100%.
Hate to do it, but I concur as well.
I agree with him.
I've got, sorry, with hindsight, Kirby, I've got a sound effect that may or may not work for you.
No,
instead
don't
of the,
ruin it. No. I haven't done one yet today. No.
Here we go. How's that? I think I might have to
dump that. Do you know what? I've just realised that. What? Now I'm in my new studio and I've got everything rigged up, I can play absolutely anything off my PC and you can't stop me.
No, don't be naughty. Although asking you not to be naughty is like asking me not to have a fat belly and a bad leg. Not much I can do about it, really. Right, okay. So this
Did
you not have a big belly and a bad leg?
I haven't always had a big belly and a bad leg. Although my big belly is not as big as it was.
I knew you before you had a big belly. You didn't have a big belly.
I had a medium-sized belly. It's not massive belly, it's just big.
You're not that big, mate.
Well, according to down. Other people, I've just got a bad
look. You could still fit in a Dalek costume, and at that point, you know, that's...
I could fit into a Ice Warrior costume, actually, although I need to be another foot taller. I've put that particular sound effect into my priority jingles folder, Kirby, where...
Oh, hold on. Just receiving a phone call.
Well, what happened to my little jingle that...
Kirby's trying his hardest to bore us. Time to make a cup of tea. You know he's going to ignore us. Maybe you will go for a wee. Ben's on the phone. Right,
I'm off the phone again.
Maybe you should go for a wee.
And do you know what the funny thing is? I called him just before we started the podcast on the way home from dropping my daughter off to say to him, don't call me during the podcast. He just called me like, literally an hour later.
Absolutely. That's what sort of thing happens to me. I keep on getting emails Brilliant. About prom photos, mainly from parents whose kids haven't had their picture taken. But the trouble is, when you're in a sort of a garden, setting people up and say, come on, guys, come over, have your picture taken, and nobody comes over that doesn't want their picture taken, you can't do much about it.
You
ask them. No, they say no.
No.
Their choice is no.
No, no, Adam. See, what? Look, this is where you do have a choice. You can do something about anything in life. And at that point, if you stood up on a chair, got one of those massive air horns, went, come on, you mother.
Yeah, that'd be appropriate, wouldn't it?
You'd certainly get their attention.
So well, it's Mr. Bartlett Sloan. Mr. Bartlett Sloan is now going to do his special request for feedback.
Excuse me?
Oh, or is he?
What? I'm going to go out to the Facebook page and read the feedback. Hang on, let me refresh the page.
Isla, do you have anything to say about
this? Yeah, do some filler for us, Isla.
The one with the Daleks and the
Cybermen?
Each other at Torchwood Tower.
It's epic.
Epic, apparently.
There we go. That rather emphasises the fact that
Where
we were
it?
Right. Where's what?
I'm... People have been commenting.
Doom Doctor's enemies fighting each other, basically Doom Doctor is back for
them. Not really doing that.
Destroying them.
I can't find the 20
I'm
megabyte.
I'm trying to
code.
Find the thread.
What have you done to it, Kirby?
Well, people have been posting it's pictures
been
of cats
deleted.
Looking at. There it is.
That was a while ago, honestly. Leia loves Adam's voice. She just sits there staring at the computer, still doing
it. For such an important story, we only have 6 comments.
Oh, dear. Go on, then.
And one of those is Ian's script. Robert Winch Jr. says, like the music, very haunting. Good story with the battle between the Cybermen and the Daleks, if you can call it that. Lopsided for the Cybermen. And he has Chip and Dale jumping up and down, going, yeah, or yay.
Yes.
Robert Winch Jr., my review of Army of Ghosts Doomsday. This is the story of the day I died, Rose, but not really. The Doctor and Rose come back to Earth to visit Rose's mom, Jackie, and again, all hell breaks loose, thanks to Torchwood. We get the Cybermen from Pete's world, Daleks that came through the void. The first part is all set up and to explain Torchwood. Yes. And the battle starts in the second story. Things I like. Torchwood and Yvonne Hartman showing the Doctor around and explaining Torchwood to him and Jackie. The Doctor wearing 3D glasses to explain the void to Rose. Daleks in the void ship. Pete and Jackie meeting. The Genesis Ark that turns out to be a Dalek prison ship thanks to the Time Lords technology. I guess from the Time War. All very exciting and enjoyable. The end of Rose, no, not really. See you later on in other episodes. Next runway ride, and then on to Martha. My rating 4 out of 5 to both. Oh, that reminds me of something that I read.
Oh, yes.
RTD apparently was in interviews and stuff, was also going, bye, Rose. It's been nice. And then, He also turned to Billy and said, see you in 2 years. We've already ridden you in.
Oh, wow.
Andy Nunny says, sent.
All right,
so,
okay.
he sent something. Yeah,
he could have kept that one quiet, really, Kirby. It's really sort of a bit of a spoiler for our listeners to now know that Andy Nunney is
fairly common,
going to be on there too. Bamboozling. And I nearly sent some feedback to my wife. That wouldn't have gone very well.
No. Brandon Moore says, well, first of all, Peggy heard this noise in the cellar, so she goes down. What?
What?
That's what it says at the very top.
I'm sure it'll explain that.
No time for audio again this week, but I'm getting married in 2 months' time, so you're lucky to get anything at all. Married? He's too young to get married.
Well, I'll tell you what. He probably did. It's funny that him being Alicia's biggest fan back in the early days is now Alicia's married. That now he's decided to get married, but really realizing she really is not up for grabs anymore. Maybe? I don't know. Carry on.
I'm continuing with his Army of Ghosts and Doomsday by Russell T. Davies. As I've said before, this was the first series of Who I watched on transmission. And as the series had gone on, my obsession had grown and intensified. I had begun to collect Doctor Who Adventures, great magazine, and catching up on all the old episodes. There were only 13 before this, right? So I was all set for another big series finale. I was fully expecting the Doctor to regenerate at the end of this series, as it happened at the end of the last. To my 9-year-old eyes, it seemed logical that this must happen every series. So I was greatly confused when this was not the case. Interesting. I hadn't thought of that. But anyway, what about the story itself? Overall, I find it to be a bit of a mixed bag. David Tennant is at full-on Doctor mode by this point, able to coast through the story without giving a wonderfully powerful performance, but neither is he underwhelming. Billy Piepar does a good job with the emotional heft at the end, but as a 9-year-old and an adult, a lot of it does tend to wash over me. I guess I was never really invested in their love story, and I wasn't too fussed about Rose not being in the next series.
Well,
Jackie is great in this episode. I wish we'd got to see more of her.
Yep.
And any of Alt Pete when Rose came back in series 4. Spoilers! I was glad to see Mickey come back, and as a kid, I found that almost as exciting as the monsters! The Daleks and the Cybermen are the headline event of this story. The Cybermen have got themselves a nifty little upgrade since the last story in the form of those handle little wrist guns. But come on, we all know that they're no match for the Daleks. The reveal at the end of part one was the most exciting thing ever. I remember me and a friend speculating greatly over what the Genesis arc could be.
Yeah.
The dialogue and interplay between Daleks and Cybermen works well, but once the arc is open and the Daleks begin to swarm everywhere, the story does begin to stall a little bit. I think there's an element of the production team trying to outstretch their reach here, with the spectacle and scale not quite being able to live up to the potential. The cult worked well enough on their own. Torchwood worked well, much better than the Cardiff team did. I find out this little secret government organization is so easily wiped off the map following the events of this episode. Really? I think they would have been replaced at least on some level. Overall, I think the concept is underused in this episode, and perhaps the Torchwood spinoff is to blame. By taking the idea and portioning it out into another section of the Hooniverse, is lessen the potential for stories involving the Doctor in an alien fighting organization that could even be actively working against him. Anyway, I've rambled on quite a bit here, but that's because there's so much to talk about in this story. Whilst a lot of it works, a lot of it doesn't work as well as it could. As such, I'd have to give both parts 7.5 out of 10. Next time, spiders, weddings, and Santa's a robot. And with my 9-year-old brain, when watching the ending for the first time, I initially thought that the bride who appeared in the TARDIS at the end was an Auton. Don't ask me why.
Yeah, I could see why, actually.
Yes. You could, yeah. Neil James, Army of Ghosts Doomsday. There's so much good stuff here. I think Yvonne Hartman is a great villain, and I'm always a bit sad at her demise. Jackie and the TARDIS is brilliant fun, and I enjoy Martha Jones' cousin and her co-worker sneaking around for a fumble. This is a highly exciting two-parter, and pitting the Cybermen against the Daleks allows for some great dialogue exchanges. I love the battle scenes, or as the Daleks call it, pest control.
Pest control.
Jake's return didn't do much for me, but Pete was good as always. The Doctor, Rose, and Mickey are on form, but it's Jackie who steals the show yet again. I just adore her. Rose's departure is well-written and works as an emotional climax. Awesome music and wonderfully directed. A really strong finale at the end of a mixed, very mixed bag of a season. Series. 4 stars out of 5. Alan T. Butcher says, sent.
I thought, would you stop reading those ones?
I didn't read Ian Kirk's script.
No, but you said, I'll give up.
And by the way, of course it was wonderfully directed, because it was Graham Harper.
Yes. I thought you said wasn't a lot of feedback. Well, it seems to be quite a lot of it. It seems to be leading me up the garden path. There's more, is there?
No, that's it.
Oh, that is it. Okay, well, let's see what's coming through on the feed.
That was a lot more than I thought there was.
Well, clearly.
We only had a bit.
That's what she said. Brandon Moore says, Andy is definitely very common. So you've met him then. Talking of which...
Morning. Well, good morning, 20 megabytes. Good morning. Actually, good afternoon. It's 20 past 12 on Sunday afternoon. Sitting here with a nice kip aside. Very nice. Just been watching Army of Ghosts, and that's a pretty good episode, isn't it? I mean, from memory, when it was first broadcast, I don't think there was any clue that you're going to get both the Cybermen and the Daleks coming along. So it was good that for once you actually get a surprise. I mean, the concept of the ghosts as well is it's quite interesting, isn't it? You know, people, these things coming back and people thinking they are who they are. I like all the Ghost Watch and the Ghost Forecast and things like that. I'm trying to think, who's the guy who did the Ghost Watch program? I'm sure he's familiar. I'll have to look him up and work out where I've seen him in something else before as well. Seeing a fictitious programme appearing in a fictitious programme, that's quite interesting as well, with EastEnders popping up, and there's Barbara Windsor doing a bit as a landlady. Blimey, that's Dirty Den as well as a sideman.
Shows how old the episode was.
Quite appropriate, really, isn't it? Yes, if you think about it. Anyway, the story just go along. I mean, it's a good thing Torchwood coming back in, where the Doctor is a prisoner. Although he's as a prisoner, he does seem to have pretty much the run of the land as well. And he remembers obviously going back to Torchwood and meeting Queen Victoria. They don't mention the fact that he got knighted, so should they call him Sir Doctor? And should it be called Dame Rose? And of course, interesting the fact that they don't actually recognise Rose, because they should have done the thoughts. Presumably she's in the files as well there, isn't she? But I like the way that he got Jackie to be Rose all along, and then when the reveal came, of course, it's yes, I better not to let Rose get bumped off. I don't think Jackie would be too pleased about that. Interesting that the Torchwood would have got psychic training, so they could actually literally see through the psychic paper and know that it was blank as well. So it just shows that isn't always the answer to everything. You know, it's not a medical cure that you can do anything with. Don't quite know what Rose is actually trying to do, though. That's the only thing that just debugged me slightly. I think the talking about the coming through and using the Doctor breaking the window to show you the breaking of the wall between universes, I thought that was really quite effective, wasn't it? So I think that's a good analogy of, you know, what real life physics could be. You know, are there parallel universes? Who knows? You know, it's one of life's great interesting things. You know, quite possibly there are those that do exist elsewhere, you know, very, very dissimilar, very, very similar in some respects. Who knows? Maybe we'll find out in our daytime. Mickey coming back was good as well. And he's obviously, I mean, you can see he has definitely grown and developed, because, you know, just the way he was acting, and he was expecting Cyber to come through, was already with a gun stashed conveniently under a staging post. Presumably he came through the same way. I mean, you know, we do get the trailer. I haven't seen Doomsday yet. I can't remember how it actually does work out, but because, you know, he came through, and he's working and following them through, which is good. The Doctor, a bit bonkers at first, Alonzi, and they're like, have you got a character somebody called Alonzo? That did make me chuckle. But yeah, this is very well paced, very quick. I mean, it really was a lot of action in there, isn't there? A lot of things going on. And you know, starting to set up Torchwood, of course. I'm trying to think when the Torchwood series started. I think it was a little bit after this, wasn't it? But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. Stormageddon came in at the end and saw the Daleks and Cybermen and promptly went into the conservatory and hauled my rather battered Cyberman and Dalek to use. We've broken the handles off the Cyberman and the Dalek stalks have all come off and they're a bit short in as I stick them. Apparently, they are their natural enemies, and the Cybermen must be goodies if Daleks have had it. So there you go. That's not quite 6-year-old Doctor Who logic for you. But yeah, it's a cracking story. I do remember, you know, Doomsday was equally good. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, and I'll see that next week. But until then, I will actually say put this on hold, and then we will record it again next week. See you.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
And good afternoon again, 20 megabytes. It's a week later. It is 5 to 1 in the God afternoon. Sake. I'm sitting here. And I've got some sparkling water this time. It's a bit early to have a drink. Anyway, I just watched Doomsday. I thought I'm getting the company. Who's this? And I'm getting my Sidemen out. So Sidemen hasn't got any handles anymore because he's been broken off. Last week he got the Dalek out and Dalek ended up with no stalks. But hey, that's five little boys for you. Yeah, Doomsday. It's a belter, isn't it? I mean, it really does rattle along. There's some very good bits in it, you know, when you get the parallel world people coming through, with Jake and Mickey, and then Steve Tyler himself coming through. Wonderful moments about them, you know, saying, well, you're not my wife, you're not my husband, you're not my wife. Oh, come here, boof! And off they go. And obviously, we know what happens a bit later because of the baby Tyler on the way. Parallel Torchwood, parallel Earth. The climate is going and the Doctor works out why, so we need to seal it up. Presumably then that means the climate goes back to normal. Well, that's the problem here with climate change here. You know, you never know. Is there some, you know, he's tortured messing around on this Earth as well. But the interest of the battle between the Daleks and the Cybermen, you know, both convinced they're invincible, you know, the inferior species, the Daleks call the Cybermen, and I don't know what Dalek Cybermen call the Daleks, then we actually hear that. But interesting that they then go to battle with each other. Prison ship Dalek. So where did that come from? The Genesis Arc. You know, the Prince of the Diamond, Time Lords have locked the Daleks away. Where did he go? Where did he go then? Why did he do that? But millions of Daleks come out, and then they all get sucked into the void through, again, a bit, good bit of continuity, taking it back to what was, you know, originally done with the Ghost. So it's actually sending everyone back, but sending them back, the Cybermen and the Daleks back together. So people are going to go battle each other to bits somewhere else as well. But it's good. A good bit of Leader of Torchwood being cybernized, but actually being able to remember just enough to fight them off. Presumably she went as well. The crying Cyberman. I mean, well, Cyberwoman, so he would be. That was certainly unusual. I think anyone saw that coming. But yeah, I thought that was rather good. I just noticed, Adam, my volume is down a bit, so I'm going to turn it up a bit. That means you're going to get louder.
Not usually how it works.
Oh, let's try that. There we go. So I might get a bit loud in that. Oh, yes, the levels have gone up there. Don't know why it's turned yourself down. Sorry about that, Adam.
Jesus!
The Doctor is excellent because he really did show him as being, you know, when he says about the Sonic, it's harmless, it can't wound, it can't maim. Because that is the Doctor. You know, he finds almost a non-violent way to do it, though presumably he's just sure the Daleks and Cybermen at the end of it. A bit corny with Pete Tyler coming back to save Rose, you know, to think, is she going to go? I was desperately trying to remember how it finished, because I've seen this 2 or 3 times before. I've forgotten that Pete came back and did save her. And then we come to the end, and by God, I think that's the most...
Why has it stopped?
I don't know, he's gone.
Even he got...
It stopped, but I didn't stop it. I think it might be the system struggling. The dog wants to get out. Oh, for goodness sake. Go on, bugger off.
For heaven's sake.
I don't know. I didn't stop it. It stopped in mid-flow. It's just stopped itself. So that's 6 minutes and 49 seconds in. Why is it not playing? Well, I did was turn the volume down. I mean, right, I refreshed the page.
Oh, dear. It's all right, Isla. It's slick.
It's no, nice. No. What you meant to say?
Hang on, hang on. Whoa, 6 minutes. Here we go. Hang on. Here we go.
Well, there isn't she? Which, you know, you think, is she going to go? I was desperately trying to remember how it finished. I've seen this 2 or 3 times before. I've forgotten that Pete came back and did save her. And then we come to the end, and by God, I think that's the most emotional ending of Doctor Who we've ever seen. So. Funny, my memory is playing through this. Somewhere I was convinced that the duplicate Doctor went to her. You know, the sort of the
Stop! That's spoilers, Andy!
And what am I thinking? Spoilers! I think it's something that. Well, obviously, clearly, yeah, it didn't happen. But just seeing, you know, this is the companion that's been the most in love with the Doctor, who's never going to leave him, but you know, she'd have been massively shocked in about 70 years' time, she'd have died, and he would have been totally unchanged. You know, she just, it's interesting that Rose did not understand this, how the Doctor works. You know, the Doctor needs to move on because he's virtually immortal. And Mickey really has come on a treat. You know, he's really developed, you know, this, in the new world, he's done well. Jake, quite an interesting character. I think he had a good sense of humour about him. Steve Tyler, doing very, very well for himself. President Harriet Jones, I think there's some good touches where they put the camera on. Yeah, you better watch out for her as well. But all in all, I think this has been a two-parter, one of the best two-parters I've ever seen, because it did have a story that lasted all the way through. And I don't think anyone saw the end coming. I think that was the best bit of it, that the way they wrote Rose out. I don't think anyone could have seen that. And you think about it as well, this is the end of the beginning, because that's the last link to the start of the restart of Who the year before. And so now everything is going to be new, and of course we get Donna. There you go. Anyway, be seeing you.
Thank you, Andy. Sorry about the technical issue that we had during the production of that tar part of the episode. And
it's hardly unusual, though, to be fair.
Oh, hang on. You've disappeared, Ben.
Oh, has my... Hold on. Yes, I've turned the thing off.
He was on screen, then he's off screen.
Hold on.
Go on screen, and then we went...
Oh, he's back
again.
I was a bit concerned that my video would corrupt the video that's currently running on the Facebook group. Talking of which... Robert Vence Jr. says, how can we miss Rose if she keeps coming back?
Yeah.
And then, she doesn't keep coming back. She makes fleeting appearances.
Yes.
And Lillian Robin, hashtag Lillian's legs. I liked Adam looking at a comic book during this. The longest feedback ever. It's a very polite sort of bit of critiquing of Andy's feedback then. No, keep it coming, Andy. We have got another bit of audio feedback that is accompanied by this piece of music.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast is in Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Hey, what's happening? Someone married a ghost. Unbelievable. Army of Ghosts and Doomsday by Russell T. Davis. A good story, with the return of Jackie Tyler and Parallel Pete Tyler.
Parallel Pete.
Nice to hear the Daleks and Cybermen arguing. Mm. Not just a Torchwood reference, a story set at their headquarters. The Link to the Void needed two levers for plot reasons. Is Rose Tyler gone for good? Stay tuned to the 20 Megabyte Podcast to find out. The Canary Wharf building was erected on the site of a wharf where ships from the Canary Islands were unloaded. One of the islands is Lanzarote, where the 5th Doctor story, Planet of Fire, and the 12th Doctor story, Kill the Moon, were recorded. I like to make silly jokes, but sometimes think of them far too late. For 4 years, I did not notice that the US President and Vice President were Donald and Mickey. Bye for now.
Thinking about that one. Donald and Mickey. Anyway,
Trump,
yeah, thank you.
And Dolence.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Mickey Dolence, yeah. From the Monkees. He was
by... Yeah, that's right, yes. Right. Sorry, hey, Kirby's back. No, I've got a message off Kirby.
Here, we could sort us out on that.
I left while Andy was droning,
and you came back when Andy was droning. Yes.
Well, he's still going.
Indeed. Well, don't try and put Andy off his sending feedback in, Kirby. It is actually a very important matter.
I took my phone upstairs with me, and I was listening all along.
It's just the fact that, you know, that 3 days have come and gone. And my wife's going away tomorrow, so I wouldn't mind getting in the house before, you know, 11. I'm only joking.
So,
please send feedback. It won't be critiqued too much.
Ben, who is appearing live on my screen, is now going to dictate some feedback that we've received from Terry and Linda Miles.
Yay.
Straight off, Torchwood get a big mention this week. In fact, these two episodes are all about them. They should have their own show, maybe set in Wales. Just saying.
Just saying.
Wait a minute. That's number one, Canada Square in Docklands. I spent 2 weeks, 2 weekends working on every floor of that building about the same time this was filmed. The top floor is offices, in fact. All the offices are offices. Sorry, all the floors are offices. All the offices are offices. All the floors are offices. There must be a parallel London. See, I've ruined his gag there. All the gags, he's from Ninja as well. The Doctor and Rose being met by a reception party pointing rifles at them. Nothing unusual there, then. If I'm the enemy, does that mean I'm a prisoner? Oh, yes, but we'll make you perfectly comfortable. Doesn't Adeola look like that nice Dr. Martha Jones? Maybe one of her sisters. Those Jones
called an identical cousin. That's what it's called.
Those ghosts look like Cybermen. Oh, look, Jackie's back again. The Doctor doesn't do domestics. Sorry, wrong Doctor. Sorry, so sorry. Cleverly written gag, by the way. I can have a bell. I approve.
Mm. Thank you.
This is proof that this is a parallel universe. People who think ghosts are the dead... people who think ghosts are their dead relatives must be from the moron universe. How can something that big be mistaken for your dead granny? Oh, God.
Oh,
Torchwood have a sphere, an alien artifact that they can't open. Leave it alone, then. But no, they have to open it. Hello, it's Mickey. And he's waiting for the Cyberman to come out of the sphere. Well done, Mickey. You are right. That's not a Cyberman. Rose stumped the Dalek by telling it what it was. Didn't stop them from carrying out their plan, though.
No.
It was funny and reminded me of the U-boat scene from Dad's Army when Scout Dalek met Cyberman. The Dalek says, "Identify yourselves." Cyberman says, "You will identify first." Dalek says, "State your identify." Surely that should be identity.
Yeah.
Cyberman says, "You will identify first." Identify first. Dalek says, "Identify, Daleks do not take orders." Cyberman says, "You have identified as Daleks."
Yes.
Dalek Pike.
Yeah. Dalek
Pike. At least Jake from the Peach universe has a brain suggesting they use the lift.
Well, like I said, they're going to take a flying saucer originally.
Well, thank God they took the lift. Cyberman versus Daleks. No contest, really. One shot from a Dalek, the Cyberman explodes. Every shot on a Dalek stops at the protective shield. Slightly unfair, really. Once the arc is open and the hordes of Daleks are all out, I'll start that bit again. We'll lose that bit in the edit.
Sure, there's an Open University page that can help you out with that one.
Can I just point out, Kirby, ex-professional?
Nah.
I'm allowed to be a bit crap now. Well, really, I'm allowed to be really, really rubbish if you have a look to see some of the quality of what's on telly these days. Ryan Clark Neal, not saying anything. Once the arc is... I bet he could read this better than I could, though.
Once the arc is open and the hordes of Daleks are all out, all that war on humans and Cybermen starts.
Yes, but Kirby doesn't know who Ryland Clark Neal is, so you're
and you know what? I wish I was Kirby for once. There's Pete Tyler from the parallel universe Mickey was in. He's rich. How rich? Very rich. How very rich? Very. Good old Jackie.
Yeah, I love that. It doesn't matter. How very.
Did that Cyberman that was only doing its duty, have a female voice on top of its Cyberman voice.
Yes. That was stupid, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, if that was a converted Yvonne Hartman, why was she a Cyberman and not a Cyberwoman like in Torchwood?
Yes.
An enjoyable two-part story, which could have been better if the cyber weapons were a little bit more effective in part two.
Part two.
Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
Yes, that was rather magnificent bit of feedback.
Oh, that's not good. Can you see me now?
Yes.
I've turned the video on. Yes. I don't know how long I will be able to keep my video running. Might be too much. Oh, sorry. I'm still reading the feedback and started reading our conversation, Adam.
You silly man.
I thought you were reading your conversation.
I was thinking, this is most unlike Linda and Terry Miles.
I'm going to scratch my back.
Lovely, I could do
How it. Did they know that my connection had gone? I mean, that was incredible.
I mean, hey, I have a question.
Thought that happened.
I have a question. The Torchwood story, Cyberwoman, that character is partially converted during the Battle of Canary Wharf.
Yes.
Why wasn't she sucked into the void?
Ah.
Because it's a science fiction fantasy TV show.
And she was only partially converted.
Oh, God, Debbie, you've got an answer for everything.
And she was converted from a person from this universe. So therefore, I see what you're getting that there, Kirby.
I see what's happening there, I do.
I was, it got me thinking about something and then I forgot what I was thinking about.
I'm afraid we've lost Isla to bedtime, so...
Okay, good night, Isla.
Good night, Isla. 3:37 in the afternoon.
She was going to start reading some of this feedback, but she's downstairs.
What feedback? We've already done it, haven't we? Oh, anyway, right. Right then, so it leaves Debbie Melrose to dictate Alan T. Butcher for the first time in quite a long time. Right, Ben, this is how it's done.
No, it's going to be Yes, Jackie, it is a big ball, isn't it? Are you still holding my Christmas banana? Or, hey, wait, we were promised a death, not an administrative error. Dear 20 megabyters, Army of Ghosts / Doomsday is, of course, a closely studied critique of spiritualism as an unscrupulous con-praying of grieving people. Taking the issue on through the Cybermen's widespread personal public infiltration and by the Daleks' more centralised methodology, which is more a mirror of broadcast exploitation of such superstitions, the breadth of approaches are covered. Torchwood.
Slow down, darling. Slow down. Take it from the top. Slow down. Every word, pronounce every syllable, darling.
Torchwood is trying to reach their game from an offshoot of the concept, and like media analogues, are simply making it worse. The Doctor's resolution is to use the basic precepts to draw attention to its faults and cause it to collapse in on itself, taking the practitioners with it out of business. The harsh choice required in this, however, is, of course, to cut off hope of reuniting with those that are lost beyond a mortal veil. It should be noted that while some might say that trapping the Doctor and Rose in alternate universes in the manner they were was a bit of a straight steal from Philip Pullman's Stark Materials, in fact, as Terence Stick pointed out, what you need in Doctor Who is a really great original idea. It does not, however, have to be your own great original idea. We also learn the Sontarans may have infiltrated Torchwood's tower, as that supposed cousin of Martha Jones that worked there was obviously, in fact, a secret clone. All in all, Army of Ghosts / Doomsday is a gripping and exciting conflagration, raising the stakes, bringing forth both of the great enemies of the Doctor and building a multi-layered narrative with numerous nodes of revelation and climax. This is perhaps as good as we get from Russell T. Davis in terms of an elaborate but coherent conglomeration with huge emotional impact, steeped in the vital history of the show but still accessible to the general public. His forte was not always the best of resolutions, but here the story resolution fits, even though it is a bit outlandish, and whatever you might think about the nature of Rose and the Doctor's relationship, you would have to be stone-cold silicon lifeform to fail to be moved by their sundering, which is both justified, profound, and performed with satisfying gravity. We can be sure that Rose will not be back, but we cannot complain her leaving was either unheralded nor lacking credibility. Finally, of course, Davis's talent for creating free publicity for the show has finally excelled John Nathan Turner with a final scene, total shock reveal of what looks like truly disastrous casting, more certain to fail than even his decision to make a teen pop star the companion to relaunch Doctor Who with. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as who would not like the Dalek / Cyberman encounter played out over another episode and scribble Fear Her off the episode guide? Here, here. Next up, Doctor Who and Planetary Corps of the Spiders, or wait, that's not Julia Roberts. Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you, Councillor
Master.
Butcher.
Master.
What?
May I point out that RTD knew Philip Pullman, and he told him that he was going to use that little bit of the plot from His Dark Materials. Philip Pullman was quite pleased.
Oh.
Well, Philip Pullman is a Doctor Who fan.
Yes.
Anyway, I just wanted to say.
Can I just say at this point, happy birthday to Alan for last week.
Yeah, happy birthday, Alan.
Yes.
We weren't here last week, and I did leave the funniest happy birthday thing on his birthday wall on Facebook ever.
Yes.
You know, I didn't see that. I'll have to go have a look.
I didn't see it. I'll have to have a look at that too.
I'm just trying to find it now. For
you've forgotten what it was.
Well, I can remember what I wrote. Oh, here we go. It says. Alan's birthday is, of course, a closely studied illustration of the effects of aging on the human body and the dramatic and awful turn this can take. Next time, 1 year older, or yet another birthday.
Oh, cool.
That's very good.
The other thing I'd like to say about that is after reading that for about the last 8 weeks, it's really easy not to listen to it when you're not reading it.
Thank you for that, Ben. I just wanted to point out that there was a point in which when the Daleks and the Cybermen have a little sort of bicker, when one of the Daleks, the Cybermen said you would kill the Daleks, the Cybermen with so many, whatever it was, Cybermen, and the Dalek says we would kill the Cybermen with one Dalek or something along those effects. Well, should I really like that line? I thought that's one thing about didn't say about this story. The dialogue was so good. Lillian Robbins said. I've read that one. I thought he has some new stuff coming through on the feed. Only got three viewers now. Thanks, Andy Nunny. Only joking. Okay, so that's the feedback done. That means, of course, we can move on to another section of the show. The quiz. Only joking again.
No,
I haven't got time for a quiz.
Why are you and Ben on camera?
While Ben was on camera, I thought it was only polite to go on camera as well. But it is pushing the boundaries of my system.
When I reconnected, I accidentally pressed the video button, not the audio button. So.
Well, I don't even have a camera attached to this computer anymore.
Oh, you've gone backwards in technology.
Sorry, Kirby, I'm not on camera either.
No, well, it doesn't matter. I know that.
Just because I haven't seen Adam for such a long time.
Oh, Ben.
I miss his chubby little face.
What? I was just interested when you talk about going on cameras when we have a special guest on and Robert's on the show, Robert has to go on camera just to show what the, like we had, who did we have on a few weeks ago? I was listening to the show in the car the other day. It was Jessica Martin. And when Jessica was on, Robert, I think was the only one of us that actually did put their camera on. Just probably with a view to scaring her off, but it actually didn't work. She stayed on the show for quite a long time. In fact, she only stayed on the show until she would have stayed on the show longer had her husband not almost like shepherd hooked her off of her seat. Right, I'm going to see if we can find.
Oh yeah, she wanted to stay, didn't she?
She was having a great time. Yes. Right, whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
We haven't visited this website for such a long time, and it's great for me to open up the page and see that they've got some figures now available, which are the same figures I think you could have bought in B&M. Because B&M were a great stockist of Doctor Who figures, and I've got one behind me, which is the 13th Doctor Companions set. Right, History of the Daleks 1, which is the original 1963 Daleks. You get two Daleks for £24.99.
Daleks?
I said Daleks. They're only 2.5 inches, so quite little for £29.99.
That's massive, mate, 2.5 inches.
That's what she said. And then the History of the Daleks 2, which is the Daleks from the Dalek Invasion of Earth, ones with a slightly sort of more robust, almost like Dodgem bottoms. The second Doctor and TARDIS, these are back to the 5.5-inch figures. Now, this is quite cool if you haven't already got a second. Oh, it's a lovely version of the, I'm looking at my one over there, of the second Doctor with a red hanky. But the TARDIS itself, it's so beautiful because they've actually recreated the original Hartnell stroke Troughton TARDIS. It looks really old and battered, but it looks really cool. And that's $24.99. I'm quite tempted to get that one because it looks so cool. The Unit 1971 Claws of Axos set with the brig and... is that Benton? Hang on, I've got to have a look at this one closer up. Yep, Benton and Yates. And I've met both of them. Sadly, never got a chance to meet Nicholas Courtney. Then it's the 1975 Terror of the Zygon set, $24.99, which has the Fourth Doctor in Scottish garb. Again, a unique version of that. I might have to get that one too. Probably won't be allowed to at $24.99, to be fair. Sergeant Benton, the Doctor, and the Brigadier in his probably one of his last appearances in the classic series. In fact, it was. And oh no, it wasn't, because he came back in Five Doctors.
What was
didn't
it?
It was his last appearance with the Fourth Doctor, right? And then It's the Companions of the Fourth Doctor set, which is Sarah Jane in khaki stuff, Romana in pink sort of cardigan, and second Romana in her sort of matching long scarf and pink jacket. Again, all of these are so iconic and so cool. I'm not saying it just because it's blimmin' whowon.co.uk, but if I had the choice and if I had about 250 quid, I'd get the whole lot. I'd be told off for, because I've got nowhere to store this stuff, but they're all really, really good stuff. So you can buy those now from whowon.co.uk. Who will ship universally? No, that's probably wrong. Internationally, we'll say.
Yes, but how much is shipping?
Well, it depends where you live. You'd have to try and buy it and see what happened. You're quite excited about that, Kirby, I can tell.
I mean, if you live like on Saturn, I think you would be quite a lot.
Have you seen them? Can you see them from where you are sat?
Yes, I'm looking. I like them.
I like to imagine that my listeners are doing exactly the same thing. One. Yeah, indeed. Coming soon at whowon.co.uk is The Early Adventures 7.1 After the Daleks. So this is Susan when she was left behind. So that sounds like a really good story. I know Mary would probably say she's already listened to it, even though it's not out yet. Early Adventures 7.2, which again, it's of the First Doctor, probably played by David Bradley, who I should be meeting at Wales Comic Con. Sadly, I won't be meeting Karen Gillan because she's piped up with one of Reese Parton's greatest ever excuses. They were going to be filming Guardians of the Galaxy in London, but they decided to move it to Atlanta, so therefore she will not be in the country when the convention's on. But to give her a credit, she did send an apology video through for everybody who bought a photo op with her, including myself. But on a plus note, John Barrowman's going, woohoo! Evil of the Dark.
What do you mean Atlanta?
Atlanta, it's a place in America. It's probably
where
in
I
Atlanta.
Live?
Yeah. Probably in the Atlantic Ocean, is it?
What, is she coming to Dragon Con?
What are you on about? She's filming Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I did mention this.
Oh.
That was her excuse, anyway, and that was in Maurice Barton's book of excuses.
It's barely an excuse,
volume.
Is it? It's more like a fact, I'd say. You know,
I keep forgetting that Marvel Studios is here, even though the Marriott Marquis was the location of the Time Variance Authority.
Right.
In Loki.
Back to Who Won. Evil of the Daleks, a DVD, or the cartoon of such. Now, I haven't actually seen that yet, but we're quite interested to watch. Obviously, we did review the original version reconstruction a while back. Well, Five People You Can Kill in Middlesbrough, which is a Torchwood story featuring the lady at the centre of the story we've been reviewing today, Yvonne Hartman.
Yes, I see that.
And Gods of Phantoms, which is a Fourth Doctor story from Big Finish. Lady Christina 2, they've obviously still doing these, because obviously Michelle Ryan hasn't got a lot of work at the moment, so she's getting work through Big Finish. More Torchwood. Madam I'm, and then Out of Time 2, which is a 10th Doctor story from Big Finish, and The War Doctor Begins 1, Forged in Fire. I'd love to know who's doing the War Doctor's voice since the passing of John Hurt.
A sound alike.
Yes.
Yeah.
Peter Capaldi's not doing I think it's a Big Finish. I'm sorry if I'm wrong about that, but there's a new one coming up and he's not playing his Doctor.
Yeah, it's been signed up, yeah, is he?
they're getting a voice right. actor to do it.
Yeah, because... I saw that.
But he's also played other ones before as well. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but the voice actors are so clever, aren't they? It's like before Tom Baker joined Big Finish, obviously, what's his name? Really good. Coleshaw, John Coleshaw.
John Coleshaw. The voice.
Yeah. So that concludes our look into the much improved Who Won page. We move on to Lavazzi.
Hey, who won Dakota, UK?
Nah.
Because we're coming to the end of the summer now, and when we come to the end of the summer, we start thinking, Crimbo! And where we didn't really get a proper Christmas last year, because we had to stay at home.
It still happened on the 25th of December.
Yes, but we didn't have a proper one, because we couldn't actually, weren't supposed to. Oh, we were, weren't we? We're allowed to see our family and give them COVID. I think that was what Boris had in mind. Possibly, I don't know. That's what happened anyway.
Depends how you meet your family.
Now, you may be surprised to hear this, but if you go to lavazzi.co.uk, you can get your hands
on... whowon.co.uk?
Lavazzi. You can get your hands on a fourth Doctor scarf, or two, or three, or four, along with the seventh Doctor question mark pullover, which I adore, the fifth
it's
Doctor cricket jumper.
To wear my fourth Doctor scarf,
but
I'm
we're
sorry.
Heading towards the winter. You could also get phone cases for iPhones and other phones, ties, TARDIS ties, diaries for 2021, a bit late now, but hopefully it'll be a 2022 diary available soon, Pandorica open gloves, and scarves and Paisley scarves. There's all sorts of Doctor Who merchandise and Star Trek merchandise.
There's got to be 75% off the diaries, surely.
Possibly. Also, you can get their newsletter and join their blog, where you can publish fan fiction. So that's always very good fun. And iwheroes.co.uk.
Is it iwheroes.co.uk?
That's who won.co.lavazzi.
Now, I've been very naughty. I did actually put something in the shopping basket that I intended to purchase, but didn't end up purchasing it. So I realised that if I purchased it, I'd get an email saying, thank you for buying this product from Heroes, and then Deb will see the email and say, where's the money coming from? So therefore, I
you're doing this all wrong. Firstly, you should have your own email address.
Yes. I've got my own email address.
I ordered a great big pink vinyl this afternoon. The wife will never know.
I have got my own email address, but it's very useful for me for Deb to read those emails, simply because if any customers, very important customers, come through with a message that we urgently need to respond to, she can deal with that for me.
Well, you have a email just for things that you don't want her to read.
That would be very sly, but it's a great idea.
Are you the only husband in the world who hasn't done this?
So the stuff, we've got stuff coming up soon from Heroes. I will tell you, what I nearly bought was the McDonald's, because I've got the KFC McColonel Sanders Funko Pop, and I thought it'd be a nice thing to balance it out by having Ronald McDonald Funko Pop. So I put that in a thing. And
balance
then,
it out, yeah.
And I thought, will she notice
the Burger King as well?
No, they haven't bought that out yet. I'm thoroughly assured they probably will. I will say their McDonald's range is much bigger than their KFC range, but they don't taste as nice. Anyway,
free range chickens.
Shut up. Right, so...
I think the character of the Burger King is just the freakiest character
ever
invented for anything
I
ever.
I haven't seen it, but I know
it's
that...
it's amazing why they dropped him. I can't work it out.
Well, people are afraid of clowns, aren't they? Yet Ronald McDonald's a clown, so surely that was a thing to alienate as many people.
Well, you don't see Ronald McDonald a lot anymore.
No, because he scares people off.
That as well.
Yeah. But when I remember... when we took Alicia to a party at McDonald's, when she was little, obviously. She's still little, actually, but when she was a child and little. And I'm pretty sure Ronald McDonald was at that party, scaring the living daylights out of her friends, and never did a party there again, to be fair. Right then, stuff coming through on the... they did love the food, though. Pre-orders, we've got the Halo Infinite character, I don't know what that is. Elvis 1968 Comeback Special. Quite cool, because he's got his eyes shut and his lip curling. It does look very cool. The Vox Machina, don't know who that is. It's a woman with the antlers. Simpsons Witch Marge, flying on a broomstick. And the coolest one is the Pop DC Holiday Harley Quinn with Helper. Obviously, these are Christmas-based pre-orders. What have we got coming up that isn't a Funko Pop? Oh, there isn't. That's it then. That's Heroes, where you can purchase a very large range of Funko Pops and probably get them quicker
but
and more reliable.
If you
live in the United Kingdom. Sorry.
Yes. When are they going to have international shipping?
I don't know.
When America moves closer.
Yeah. Well, the trouble is, it's all to do with licensing, Kirby, and they've got a license to sell Funko Pops and other things. And I think their license is at risk if they breach things and stuff. So it's all political stuff.
Things and
they have a business to run, and they're not allowed to do that. So basically, they do what they're allowed to do, and so they can.
Well, they've lost my business.
Well, no, because they never had your business.
Yeah, yeah. Right then, before we move on to news, Mr. Benjamin Shuttler posted on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group a thing that said was entitled "Interesting Article." Could you elaborate a bit more on that?
No, that was only this morning. I'd forgotten I did that.
No, well, sorry about that. What was that all about?
Oh, wow. Hold on, let's find it. Where is it?
I don't know, because while you're doing that, I'm going to load it.
You do it.
I didn't even read it. But when you said it was interesting, I thought, oh, good. If he comes on the show tonight, he can talk about it while I load up the Doctor Who news page.
Oh, there was the thing about... it was an article from Radio Times.
Mm.
And it was a fella basically saying... Right? Where is it? I can't even find it now.
Great podcasting.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there we go.
It was a bloke saying that Doctor Who doesn't need to die, it needs to regenerate. Basically, it was a little bit of what we were kind of saying last time we spoke. Was it last week or the week before? It was the week before, wasn't it? In saying, you know, that the new showrunner has to be, well, sounds stupid saying, but bang on the money, really. And go back to writing interesting stories.
Yes, that's exactly
rather
right.
Rather than, because this is, as we've said many times, and just to say it again, you know, personally, it's just got too preachy again.
Yes, absolutely.
Box ticky.
PC.
And it's not, you know, as we've all said and all agreed for the last however long now, you know, the stuff we're reviewing now is, as Kirby said earlier, just. It's the best of New Who, and and what has been put out recently is so far below this level wise, you know, it has to be brought back up. And you know, as I'll say again, you know, I haven't watched the latest series. I watched very, very little bits of it, so you can say, well, how do you know it's rubbish if you don't watch it? I don't want to watch it because I've been so put off by the rubbish that's preceded it. I've got no interest in it at the moment at all. And that's why it's got less viewing figures than EastEnders. So, you know, and anyway, the article is very interesting. It's on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group brackets, which you can join close brackets. And, yeah, it's well worth a read. And underneath, there's a few comments. Shall we go through the comments?
No, it'd be too long. Unless it's not many comments, of course, in which case it won't be that long.
There's only 300 comments. I'll start at the beginning.
Blast it.
Well, no, there's only... a couple. Hold on. Let's have a look at all the comments. Right. Oh, Billy Kirkbride from Accrington, from Accrington, Australia. just outside Perth. about 5 hours outside Perth, I think, which is about an inch on the map. Anyway, Billy says it needs another hiatus, a good 5 years.
Well, can I interject? Can I interject here? That is nonsense. If you give it a hiatus, it will not be 5 years. You're looking at about 25 years. If more, it might be the end of it. So no hiatuses. It does. If you can guarantee a 5 years hiatus will be good for the show, but they're not going to do that. If they take it off, they take it off. It won't come back.
You couldn't do that.
No.
You couldn't do that.
It will only be available on Big Finish.
Between series, it practically goes on hiatus every other year anyway.
It does indeed. Well done, Kirby.
Yeah, but there's a huge difference between it going away for the amount of time it's gone away for, and obviously they'll blame finances and COVID and all that for the most recent gap. And also because I think there's got to be a whole big thing about the fact it hasn't been on, because it's rubbish. Mm. And because it hasn't been getting viewing figures. And so therefore,
the
they're not going to sit there and go, we need 12 episodes of this crap, sort of rubbish, do they? You know, BBC ain't going to want it. They're going to want it good. And they know it's rubbish. You know if you're punting something out that's rubbish, don't you? In anyone's work, whatever you're doing, whether you're building a wall, whether you're, you know, doing a radio show, or whether you're making a TV series,
or
you
a
know
podcast.
It's rubbish. And they know it's rubbish. anyway,
yes,
it goes on. I said, no, it just needs the rubbish siphoning off. It needs to be more likeable and relevant. Billy says, I've lost interest, didn't you? this is how he speaks.
Yes, it is.
If it's unlikely revived to the same quality action Pretty Moffat days, I might get excited about show again. Time will tell. See you later. Drop down.
That is, you've got it spot on.
Absolutely.
I love Billy. I'm sure he'll be laughing or on a plane to punch me in the face. Joshua Dyball says, Billy Kirkbride, same. I don't know Joshua's accent. Where does Joshua
just go for a generic one?
I thought you said a German one.
Damn. Never been less interested in Doctor Who than now. Would
what
love to see the damage done by Chibnall overturned before he wrecks it any further. My 18-year-old daughter has loved the show since a toddler and feels the same.
I do apologise.
Good. I think that apologises. That apology is well warranted.
She just endlessly watches repeats of pre-Chibnall Who. So it was a very good point. I ruined for comedy effect. And then Aaron Danvers Dukes says, I do wonder how the new format is going to
He's
work
not
for
Welsh.
The series. I don't even know what that accent was.
Aaron. Oh, well, that's just alienated him.
My hope is he can move the timeless child arc forward.
No, he's turned into a sheep.
I'd go for he's very much like your voice. Try your voice.
Do you reckon he sounds like me? He's
yeah, but slightly like higher, slightly higher pitch, but a bit like you, yeah.
I think that's all fit by the end of his tenure next year. Or if he does insist on...
Is that you, with a higher pitch? I don't think that is something.
No. For other writers. this one needs...
Rules. Rules, hey? Where are you?
I'll leave it there because I've run out of breath.
Oh, have you stopped it? You're not doing Aaron's one?
Oh, you can read the rest of it.
The Time War did have some rules. We knew it would end with the time streams changed forever in terms of Gallifrey and Scarrow. And for the longest time, we didn't know what happened. Yet it felt organic. Okay. This is strange spelling there. The Timeless Child feels seriously like Chibnall's thing and ideally needs to be resolved because I can't really think about how it could work if it were to be allowed to continue. Essentially, the only thing I can think of is that we need to know how much can be retrieved via memories of or race archives and stick to it. But it's my hope the arc gets more of a resolution, to be honest.
Well, thank you very much. That didn't sound anything like him either. Come on, guys.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go, my loves, but I will speak to you next time.
Copyright Rhys Parton, 1970.
Cheers. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
I got that wrong. It's copyright Rhys Parton, 2013. Right. So that's well done, Ben.
People need to join the Facebook group about Rhys Parton's Book of Excuses.
Yes, I forgot about that Facebook group. They can join Nicholas Nork's one as well. Tom Baker is to record two lost scripts. The fourth Doctor, Tom Baker, is to record two missing stories from the audio producer's Big Finish. The Doctor Who, the Lost Stories, will take us back to the first series on the fourth Doctor, screened by the BBC in 1975. Why are they lost stories then? Doctor in the Ark? Oh, well, he's going to be doing some more Big Finish, which is great.
They were lost down the back of the sofa.
Oh, I see. Doctor Who Magazine, special edition 58, which is David Tennant on the cover, available and probably available from whoone.co.uk.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
Because even though we haven't been on for a while, the next bit of news down the list is Jodie Whittaker and Chris Chibnall are to leave Doctor Who, which requires
Yay!
This.
Hallelujah.
There you go.
Well, that's right.
So that's the end of Doctor Who news. Yeah, so I'll do just something that's quite, you know, I may be surprised to hear this. I do love my daughter very much. Both of them, actually, but Isabella is in the house, I'd say that. A very interesting conversation to have with her today. We watched a lovely film by the Marvel people called The Black Widow. So it was available to watch on telly. So we watched it on the telly. And there was a point in which... Oh, no, we watched that. It was to do with that awful programme, Love Island. Somebody on Love Island, sorry, but I just want to say I watched Black Widow, which is fab. But someone on Love Island was dressed in a sexy Egyptian costume, and she said it was racist. And I said, no, it's not racist, is it? It's not. She said it was offensive. I said, it's not offensive, because she said that anybody wearing an Egyptian costume should look Egyptian, not white. Well, I think it would be more racist if they blacked up and wore the Egyptian costume, but it's confusing, all this PC stuff. So there's a picture of Alicia on the wall dressed in an Egyptian outfit when she was in Carnival when she was about 9 years old. I said to her, is that offensive then? She said yes. So at least she sticks to her guns. But yes, anyway, that's what I just wanted to say. I thought that was a bit confusing. I think the PC and this current sort of what's offensive or what isn't offensive is very confusing.
Do you know, I found during the week the best thing, and this will appear a lot from me from now on, the best thing ever to write on Facebook posts or things like that, where someone gets offended or, you know, tries to stick up for someone getting offended when it's for something, you know, a little bit silly that 5 years ago no one would have batted an eyelid at.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do is type these few words.
Mm-hmm.
Is this your first day on the internet?
Very good. Yeah,
I think that's absolutely the funniest thing I've heard all week.
The trouble with being offended by anybody can be offended by the anything. Does that mean you're not allowed to say anything? It is possible to offend somebody.
Yeah, problem. This is where it's all. Don't get me started on it, because it's ridiculous. You know, you can't have a conversation with some people about anything without them getting offended. And you know, the fact that you can just have a laugh without being horrible, but people think you're continually just being horrible about when you're laughing about something that you're not necessarily laughing at what they think you're laughing at. And then offense,
I can give you an example. When we did the wedding yesterday, the bride, I think she was fairly drunk throughout the whole day, but she had been waiting for a wedding day for a very long time. Don't worry, Kirby, I'm just about to end the show. But she was talking about when we did their pre-wedding shoot a few weeks prior, and she said that when they turned up, I said to her now husband, I said, well, you didn't have to dress down for the photo shoot. Now, I was just having a bit of a laugh because he was wearing like a Adidas tracksuit. He hadn't actually really dressed down. I just tried to lighten the situation. And that would have offended some people, I just realised afterwards. But it was actually very, very funny. And she took it as very funny. And she said that relaxed her. And she loved banter. But banter, apparently, according to various... policies in employment, banter is bullying.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's ridiculous, because, you know, you can't have fun anymore.
Yeah.
I know there's a line, but what can you do? Okay, let's none of us ever have... My daughter, and I shouldn't say this, I won't say this very loudly, my daughter at work gets told off for being too happy and too sad.
Yes, that's interesting, because I got someone bullied somebody at work a few years ago because they didn't believe anybody could possibly be that nice. She just was that nice. That was her personality. This world is mad.
Mental. The world has gone absolutely mad. What can you do about it, eh?
Yes, last couple of things on the feed. Rob Evans Jr. says, how can we miss Rose if she keeps coming back? We've done that one. And Lila and Roy said, I've done that one. Nobody's updated on here. Oh, give up.
Right, so just us talking to
2 weeks' time.
So
they're still there.
What else? What other things have you been watching?
Oh, that's a good point. Not much, to be fair. I've been very, very busy editing videos and photos. I have been watching...
What I've been watching.
Oh, you can tell me what you've been watching. I'll try and think of something. I watched the... What have I... I've been watching... Okay. I've managed to watch all of a great series on Disney... on Discovery Plus called Body Cam. That's a cracking show, that is. But other than that, nothing really.
The only things I've been watching for the last 2 weeks. Go on, Kirby. You go, then I'll go last.
Yeah, go on, then.
I binge watched something that I first heard about 2 days ago. I'm a big fan of musicals.
Yes.
And I ran across this TV series called Schmigadoon, which is it's a parody of and an homage to golden age musicals of the 40s and 50s.
It was
hilarious, but only if you like musicals. I tried to.
What's it called? Schmigadoon.
Schmigadoon.
I'll tell you what, I'll have a look for that.
You just reminded me what I did watch on Netflix.
It's on Apple Plus.
Oh, is it? Apple, I'll have to look out for that.
Apple TV Plus, but I found it some other way.
Oh, what
somehow.
A surprise. No, I will say, I did watch on Netflix a series two of The Movies That Made Us. And the four movies they chose for the series are really cracking films like Forrest Gump and Back to the Future. So that's really, really worth watching.
Are they good,
really
are good they? Because I've seen them and me and the wife have looked at them and gone,
What?
Are they good? Are they worth watching?
What, the Movies That Made Us?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Along with its sister program, The Toys That Made Us. Oh, that's a cracking show, too.
Yeah, they've made that. I've seen one of them.
Another
that
series.
That was good, yeah.
All
right, well, what I've been watching.
Yes.
The only two things I've watched in the last 3 weeks, really. Clarkson's Farm.
Yeah, I've heard that's brilliant. Dead watch that.
It's fantastic.
Oh, I'll have to get around to watching it.
I haven't got around to watching the new Top Gear spin off. What do you call it?
Bottom Gear?
No,
very good.
You know,
Kirby.
Monty, dude. Oh, God. Yeah. Anyway, the Clarkson and May and Hammond show. What's it called?
Grand Tour or something like that.
Grand Tour. I haven't got around to watching that yet. But the only other thing I've been watching, and I've got it on now, and it's the best thing that's happened for a hell of a long time, is The 100 in cricket.
Oh, I've heard. Yes, I watched some of that. Yeah, it was good.
Brilliant. I've not missed a match. Now, the thing that's the key to it is the fact that there's 8 teams, not 19 or 18 like you have in this country for every other cricket tournament. And with this, they've made it like the IPL, and they've made it like the Big Bash, which is the best tournament in cricket in the world.
The
fact that you get one match every day, it becomes like
don't
a soap
fall asleep,
opera.
Kirby.
You can follow it every single night, and it's fantastic.
I tell you what, I did watch though, Ben. When I had time to watch television, and really sad that it's gone, the Olympics. I thoroughly enjoyed the Olympics.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my God, that
Absolutely.
Was such good fun.
I really didn't think I was going to get into it this year.
No,
but,
nor did I. It had been
completely,
so good.
Totally the wrong time zone for our country to watch the Olympics as well, because everything happened overnight.
Yeah.
But, it was brilliant. Yes. Yeah, and but unfortunately, America came top of the medals table again.
Ah! Yes, Kobe.
I watched the first, 3 days, and then... forgot about it.
Oh well,
no, we.
I've got a question that's very related to the story we just discussed. That you're bringing up Top Gear, reminding me that I'm not a big car person. I don't really understand how people can look at a car and tell what models they are and everything. But
yes.
I have a question at the end of Doomsday.
Yes.
Rose is going on about piling into Pete's Jeep.
Yes.
But that Jeep was clearly labeled Land Rover.
Yes.
Yeah. Are they the same?
No. No, they're similar cars. They just call them Jeeps because they look like Jeeps, basically.
Okay. So it was a legitimate question.
Well done. Okay. Alan T. Butcher says, coming soon, the podcasts that made us... And on that, that's a great way to end the show, isn't it? 2 weeks' time, we'll be back for...
No, it's 3 weeks.
3 weeks' time, we'll be back for Runaway Bride. So I'll see you in September. And thank you, everybody,
right,
that bothered to show up for the show this week. Yes?
It is a Land Rover Jeep. The Land Rover was built on a Jeep axle and chassis.
I saw that originally it was, but they're not the same company.
No. No, okay. Anyway, but
no,
well,
no, they're not
first
the same company.
A Land Rover, it was on a Jeep chassis a long time
ago. I was thinking Jeep was a company that made Jeeps. That's why I got that wrong. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, no, I wasn't being pedantic. I was just correcting.
No, you were just Googling. I did that Googling earlier.
Absolutely. I've got a computer. Might as well Google. Yes. Actually, I've got two computers and a 50-inch telly in here.
Here we go. Right, anyway, so I don't have to have a bath night because I've already had one, so I can go into the other room, put my feet up, and watch some deli. I might even watch that farm thing you just mentioned.
Have we signed off yet?
We're just about to. Anyway, thanks for listening, watching, taking part in the show. Do come back again next month. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Yes, sir, I can boogie.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.